Today's daf is Megillah daf Chaf Vav, and we are at the beginning of the fourth and final parak of Masechtas Megillah, two lines from the bottom of daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalem of Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, of Vadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Hena Perel bas Yecheved, Rafal Kahas ben Fega, Avram ben Gittel Edel, Sara Nechama bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel, and Meira Chava Bashashana. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Doiv Beryl Ben Reb Yaakov David. So the third parak of Masechtas Megillah dealt primarily with the laws of Kriyas HaTorah. The fourth parak is going to revisit the laws of Kriyas HaTorah. However, it's going to begin Me Inyan Le'inyan Ba'oisai Inyan with halachos related to a base hakneses. Zokta Mishnah, b'nei ha'ir, members of a city, shemachru rechayva shalir. They sold the main street in the city. Now they have money, proceeds. The question is, what could they do with that money? Loitchem b'dam of base hakneses. If they want, they can buy a base hakneses. Base hakneses, if the b'nei ha'ir sold the Beis HaKnesses, the local synagogue, Loikhen Teva, they could take the money and they can buy an Aron Kodesh with it. Teva, if they sell a Teva, Loikhen Mit Pachas, they're able to buy the thing that was used to wrap the Sefer Torah. Mit Pachas, if they sold the Mit Pachas, Yikhu Svarim, they're able to buy Svarim. Rashi says, Svarim are Neviim Uksuvim. Svarim, in the event that the Bnei Yair sell Svarim, Loikhen Torah, they're able to buy a Sefer Torah. However, says the Mishnah, Aval, in Machru Torah, in the event that the Bnei Yair sell a Sefer Torah, LaYikhu Svarim. Then I'll let it take the proceeds and use it to buy Svarim. Svarim, if they sell Svarim, LaYikhu Mitpachas. Then I'll let it take the proceeds to buy Mitpachas. Mitpachas, LaYikhu Teva. They can use it to buy the Aron Kodesh. Teva, if they sell a Teva, LaYikhu Beis HaKnesses. Then I'll let it take the money to buy a Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses, if they sell the Beis HaKnesses, LaYikhu Asarachayv. Then I'll let it use it to buy the street, says the Mishnah, v'chein b'moisrayim, and everything that we just said would be true for any shirayim, any leftover money as well. So for example, what would be if the Bnei Ha'ir sold the Sefer Torah? Now they have money. The money is governed by the law of the Mishnah, which says that you can't take the proceeds of a Sefer Torah, for example, to buy Svarim. Okay, so what are they going to buy? Presumably another Sefer Torah. Let's say they sold the Sefer Torah, they got X amount of dollars, then they bought another Sefer Torah, but they still have leftover money. Can they take the Shirayim and use it to buy Svarim? Says the Mishnah, no. Just like you can't take the Iker money that they got in exchange for whatever it is they sold, the same would be true as it relates to the Moisrayim. Either way, the Klal that the Mishnah is presenting is what we know as Mailin B'Kodesh V'loy Mayrid. And essentially what the Mishnah is saying is that there were certain things that had Kedusha. Now, if you would sell that Dover Shel Kedusha, you can't take the proceeds and just use it to purchase anything that you want. But rather, you have to be sensitive to the concept of Mailin B'Kodesh. So if you sell something with Kedusha, now you have the money, you can buy something that has more Kedusha. However, if you're going to buy something that has less Kedusha, that's not going to be okay. And really, all the Mishnah did was give a whole bunch of examples of Dvarim Shal Kedusha and examples of what would be considered more Kaddish, what would be considered less Kaddish, thus what would you be able to buy with the money, what would you not be able to buy with the money. So just revisiting the Mishnah again, very, very quickly, says the Mishnah, if somebody would sell Rechoy V'Shalir, the Rechoy V'Shalir has Kedusha, the Gemara is going to explain why, but it has Kedusha. So if you want to now take the money and you want to buy a Beis HaKnesses, that's fine, because the Beis HaKnesses has more Kedusha. If you sell the Beis HaKnesses, now you have money, you can buy a Teva, you can buy the Aron Kodesh, because the Aron Kodesh has more Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. The Mitpachas have more Kedusha than the Teva. Neviim Uksuvim have more Kedusha than the Mitpachas. And the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Svarim. So that's the way it would work. To do it in the reverse order, that would not be okay. And again, it's based on this principle of Mailin B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin. Just one other thing that's worth mentioning, just to understand a little bit better the Pshat and the Gemara, and that is, just mechanically, if you have a Dover Shel Kedusha and you sell it, what happens is the Kedusha doesn't just go away. Rather, the Kedusha transfers from the item that you sold onto the money. So for example, if the Bnei Yair would sell the Teva, they would sell the Aron Kodesh. That's something that they have a right to do. stating that the kedusha of the teva doesn't disappear. The Gemara says in a bunch of places, kedusha bichti loy paka. Kedusha doesn't just disappear. Rather, the sum total of kedusha is always going to remain intact. So what's going to happen is if you sell the teva and you want to use the teva for some other purpose, that's fine. But the kedusha is now going to transfer from the teva onto the money that you received in exchange for selling the teva. This is just a fancy type of pidyon. So we're familiar with the concept of being paid the kedusha. You could be paid the ma'aseh sheni, you could be paid the hektish in certain circumstances. So there is a concept of being paid the kedusha. But what happens when you're paid the kedusha is the kedusha doesn't disappear, but rather the kedusha transfers. And that's the understanding of the Mishnah. What's happening in the Mishnah is that the Bnei Yair are selling a davar shel kedusha. That's something they have a right to do. However, the kedusha is not going to go away. The kedusha is going to transfer to the money. Oh, so now the money that you received for selling the teva has kedushas teva. The money that you received for selling neviyim uksuvim has kedushas neviyim uksuvim. Oh, if it has kedushas neviyim uksuvim, so now it's bound by halachas of ma'ilam mekodesh v'loy meridin. I can't take money that has kedushas neviyim uksuvim and then purchase something that has less kedusha than neviyim uksuvim, because that would be a violation of the rule of ma'ilam mekodesh v'loy meridin. So just to understand what the Mishnah is saying a little bit better, it's not so much that I'm selling the teva and I'm going to use it, the money, to buy something of less kedusha. If you look at them as two disparate transactions, so maybe it wouldn't bother me so much. The point, the nekuda, the havana of the Mishnah is that when I sell the teva, the money that I got in exchange now has kedushas teva. So I'm taking money that has kedushas teva, that's a certain level of kedusha, and I want to use it to purchase something that has lesser kedusha. That's the issue that the Mishnah is worried about, and that's something that the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do. Either way, the Gemara is going to go into this a little bit more, but the Gemara begins with a very obvious diyuk, and that is the Mishnah gave a list of things that have kedusha. All of them are intuitive with the exception of one. The Mishnah mentioned the Aron Kodesh, the Mitpachos, the mantle that you put around the Sefer Torah, the Svarim, the Sefer Torah itself. Of course, we understand they have Kedusha. But the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah was the Rechai V'Shalir, the street. Why would the street have Kedusha? So it says the Gemara, Pnei Yishamach Rechai V'Shalir, the Pnei Yir that sold Rechai V'Shalir, that's the first Sif Katna in this halacha. Amar Rabbi Bar Bachanam Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Bachanam said the name Rabbi Yechanan, Zu Divri Rabbi Nachem Rabbi Yossi Stumta. The time of the Mishnah must be Rabbi Nachem Rabbi Yosi Stumta, Aval Chachamim Ayimrim, because according to the Chachamim, HaRechayv Ein Bay Mishum Kedusha. The Rechayv has no Kedusha. So if our Mishnah is assuming that the Rechayv has Kedusha, obviously the Tana of the Mishnah is Rab Nachem Rabbi Yosi Stumta. Says the Gemara, Rab Nachem Rabbi Yosi, my time. And why does he hold that the Rechayv has Kedusha? Hoyl Va'am Mispalim B'Tainis U'B'Mamadis. The reason is because there were certain times that the everybody would come out into the street and they would daven. We saw this in Masechtas Tainis, and it was during the Mamadis as well. So there were moments where the tefillah would take place in the Rechai V'Shalir, and it's for that reason the Rechai V'Shalir has Kedusha. V'Rabbanan, why the Rabbanan then hold it doesn't have Kedusha? At the end of the day, doesn't the Olam sometimes daven in the Rechayv, so to give it the halachic status of a quasi-Beis HaKnesses? Says the Gemara, Hu akroi ba'alma. It's true, it happens sometimes, but it's not usual. And because it's not usual, it's not ordinary, so that's not enough to give it Kedusha. Beis HaKnesses, that's a place that people always daven. But the Rechayv Shalir, even though people sometimes daven there, but being that it's only sometimes, so that's not enough of a reason for it to have Kedusha. It's interesting that the name of this Tana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah, is Rab Menachem B'Rab Yossi Stumta. If it sounds familiar, it's because Rashi quoted this Tana in Masechtas Megillah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Daf Beis Amud Aleph mentioned Rabbi Akiva and referred to Rabbi Akiva as Rabbi Akiva Stumta. And Rashi said two pshatim on Daf Beis, why Rabbi Akiva would be known as Rabbi Akiva Stumta. One pshat, Rashi says, is because Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir, Alibit Rabbi Akiva. We know Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir. Rabbi Yudan Asi was Masada the Mishnah. He was a Talmud of Rav Meir, so he chose Rav Meir's Mishnayis when he put the Mishnah together. Rav Meir himself was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So really, all Stam Mishnayis traces itself back to Rabbi Akiva, and that's why Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. Rashi said another pshat, and that is the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva are all the Stams. Stam Mishnah is Rameir, who's a Talmud Rabbi Akiva. Stam Toisefta is Rabbi Nechemya, who's a Talmud Rabbi Akiva. Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda, who's a Talmud Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim are all the Stams. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva himself, he's the Rebbe of all the Stams, he becomes Rabbi Akiva's Timta. But Rashi says these are two very, very nice pshatim. I just have one problem. And my problem is that Rabbi Akiva is not the only Tan and Chas that was known as Stimta. In fact, Rashi quotes our Gemara, Megillah Chavava Men Aleph, Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi Stimta. Why was he called Stimta? Rashi says, I don't know. But for whatever reason he was called Stimta, presumably that's the reason Rabbi Akiva is called Stimta as well. So Rashi says, if the only Tan and Chas that's known as Stimta was Rabbi Akiva, so it's Mamash Gevald. Rabbi Akiva is the Stam of Chas. But he's not the only Tana that's called Stimta. As a result, Rashi says, nice pshatim, but tzarech bir, if lemaisa, that's really the reason Rabbi Akiva is known as Rabbi Akiva Stimta. Either way, so the Mishnah said, Beis HaKnesses, loikhin teva. So if the Bnei Yair sell the Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha, so the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses is now going to transfer onto the money, so you can't just take the money and do whatever you want with it, because Mailim B'Kodesh Ve'im Mayridin. So what do you do with the money? So says the Mishnah, if you want, you could buy a teva. That's something you can do, because the teva has more Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. The Aron Kodesh, where the Sefer Torah is stored, has more Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. But one thing is clear in the Mishnah. We're assuming that you're allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses. If the Bnei Yair want to sell the Beis HaKnesses, that's fine. They just have to figure out what they do with the proceeds. But in terms of selling it, that's okay. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yoinesa. So Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni commented on this halacha of the Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Yoinesa, and he said the following, very important. He said, Beis HaKnesses Shal Kfar. This that the Mishnah says that you're allowed to sell the Beis HaKnesses, that's only the Beis HaKnesses of the small villages, of the shtetl. Avol Beis HaKnesses Shal Krakim, but the Beis HaKnesses of the large cities, given the Miyama Asulei, being that people daven in those Bati Knesses from everywhere, people often visited the large cities. B'sheni or b'chamishi on the Yom HaKnisa. Yeah, people that were traveling for business. There were always people visiting the large cities. So, being that the Beis HaKnesses wasn't used exclusively by the members of the city, by the landsmen, but rather people came, me'alma, they came from everywhere, le'matzu mezavnile, you're not allowed to sell it, the havale the rabbim, because it's a Beis HaKnesses the rabbim, and a Beis HaKnesses the rabbim, you're not allowed to sell. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said this in the name of Rabbi Yonasan. It's a very important halacha, obviously, tremendous halachic ramifications. You can't sell a Beis HaKnesses that's in a large city. But he didn't explain why. And the top Tosfos in the Yomi gives two pshatim. One pshat Tosfos says is that being that so many people davened in this Beis HaKnesses and people came from everywhere, so chamura kedushasai. It has more of a chomer kedusha, and it's for that reason that in the yachal amoichra, says Taisus. That's why you can't sell it. So it's not so much that because people daven there from everywhere, so there's like a chesha mishpat reason that the Bnei Yair wouldn't be able to sell it. It's more that being that people daven there from everywhere, so a Beis HaKnesses that people visit from everywhere has more kedusha. And because it has more kedusha, you just can't sell it. And that's the beginning and the end of it. So it's not so much that the Bnei Yair are limited based on their financial bailus in the Beis HaKnesses, but rather it just has more kedusha. And if it has more kedusha, therefore you can't sell it. For Oydeish Lefarish Tosfos says, could be more al derech hapshat, it's that being that people come from everywhere, so therefore we look at everyone being the bailum. Very interesting idea. Now the truth is, how a Bati Knesi is built, so usually donations, people, they give money towards a Beis HaKnesses, and that's how the shul is built. So Tosfos says, it's a svarah to say that the people that gave the money to build the Beis HaKnesses, they didn't have in mind only the people that live in the city. They had in mind that it should belong to all the people that daven there. And being that people in this Beis HaKnesses come from everywhere, so really, the people from everywhere are the Bailam. So how could the Bnei Yair go ahead and sell it? You could have a board of directors. You could have people that are responsible for all the financial components of the shul. But at the end of the day, the Bailam is Me'alma. So if you can somehow get the whole world to sign off on it, yeah, then Enochinami. But that's not practical, and it's for that reason, it's not something you'd be able to do. Regardless, I'm Ravashi. Ravashi added to this. He said, Haibe Knisha, the Masa Mechasia. So Ravashi, we know, lived in Masa Mechasia. So he said, the Beis HaKnesses and Masa Mechasia, Afagafta Miyama Asula, even though people daven there from everywhere. And Rav Shmuel Ben Achmedi said in the name of Rav Yoinesen that if you have a Beis HaKnesses, the people come from different places, you're not allowed to sell it, period. You just cannot sell it. Oh, but this is different. Masa Mechasia's Beis HaKnesses is Andersh. Because Kivan that Hadaiti didi kasu. Because at the end of the day, people are all coming for me. This is what Rav Ashi said. If I want to sell it, I could sell it. I'm Berishonim. Just to understand, Pashim Shah, what Rav Ashi meant to say. Meisavei. Freita Gemara Kasha. Meaning, is that true that you can't sell a Beis HaKnesses in a large city? Rabbi Huda said, there was a story by Beis HaKnesses Shal Tursiyim. This was known as the Beis HaKnesses of the coppersmiths. Shayu Berushalayim. It was in Yerushalayim. Shemachru the Rabbi Eliezer, and it was sold to Rabbi Eliezer. Va'asaba called Tzrachav. And not just that, Rabbi Eliezer did with the Beis HaKnesses whatever he wanted to do with it. What's the kasha? V'hasam the krakim havu. Yerushalayim is a large city. And still you see that the Beis HaKnesses was sold. I thought you can't sell a Beis HaKnesses in a large city. If there's a rule that says you cannot sell a Beis HaKnesses in a large city, period, said Freita Gemara, this story is dead on arrival. By the way, this is Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is telling a story. Ma'isa be'beis HaKnesses shel Tursiyim, throughout Shas. But either way, it's Rabbi Yehuda is telling a ma'isa, and says the Gemara, this is a good kasha on a ma'isa. Because if you can't sell a Beis HaKnesses in a large city, how was a Beis HaKnesses in Yerushalayim sold? And for the Gemara, he be knishta zuti hava. It's true, this Beis HaKnesses was a Beis HaKnesses in a large city, but the Beis HaKnesses itself was a very small city. It was a Beis HaKnesses or a Beit Knishta Zuti, it was a small shtibel, the Inu of Dua, they had raised the money, and they had built it by themselves, and it's for that reason this is different. So this is a very important caveat in this halacha. You can't sell a Beis HaKnesses in a large city, but a small Beis HaKnesses, even in a large city, like Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh, that's something you'd be allowed to do. Meisvei, another kasha. It says in the Torah, Beveis Eretz Achuzaschem. Now the context of this pasuk is the laws of Nigei Bat. So familiar with the Metzayra. Metzayra is a person that has certain Nigayim, he's Tameh, he has to go to the Kayin, gets locked up for 7 days, another 7 days. It actually is connected to Masechtas Megillah. Ein Bein Metzayra Muskir Le Metzayra Muchlet. Regardless, not just like a person can become a Metzayra, a Beged can become a Metzayra. Not only a Beged, a Bias can become a Metzayra. The Pasuk says, Ki Savoyu Eretz Kanan, when you're going to come to Eretz Kanan, Asher Ani Noisim Lachem, Bachuza, the land that's going to be yours forever. There will be a concept of a negat saras. Now, the negat saras is going to be where? Beveis, in the house of Eretz Achuz Aschem, in the land that you're going to inherit. And the Gemara darshins, Achuz Aschem etame bin agon, ve'en Yerushalayim etame bin agon. All the cities in Eretz Yisrael are metame bin agon, but Yerushalayim not. And the reason is because Yerushalayim is not Achuz Aschem. We'll see why. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ani toli shamati ela makom mikdash bavad." I heard something similar, but not mamish. I heard that the makom mikdash doesn't have the laws of nigei batim, but the rest of Yerushalayim is subject to the laws of nigei batim. Says the Gemara. Okay, but what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda that the makom mikdash not? It sounds like the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash of Yerushalayim would be metama. What's the kasha? If you're going to tell me that a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash of a large city cannot be sold, then so too it should be excluded from the laws of Nigei Batim. If you can't sell it, then there shouldn't be Nigei Batim. Why? So for this we need a Tosfos as well. This is the second Tosfos on the Amud. But Tosfos seems to say that being that you cannot sell it, that's a chesaron in your ownership. And if there's a chesaron in your ownership, it's not achuz aschem. It's not yours. Again, it's yours, but it's limited. And because it's limited, the halacha should be that there should be no negei batim. So from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda holds that in Yerushalayim, it's only the Beis HaMikdash that you is excluded from negei batim, zoysei meres, a Beis HaKnesses, is included in negei batim, that means that there must be ownership of a Beis HaKnesses, even in Yerushalayim. What's the Chiddush? Yerushalayim's a big city. So you see clearly that the Batei Knesses and the Batei Midrashes had ownership, which means they should be able to be sold. And that's the Gemara's Kasha. Amai, how the Kraken Havu is in Yerushalayim a large city? So you see that the Batei Knesses in the large city could be sold. So the Gemara says, Eima, maybe edit Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Ani lo shamati el makom mikdash bova. Sounds like Batei Knesses, yeah. Says the Gemara, maybe that's not what he meant. Rather, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shamati el makom mikdash bova. Not only the Beis HaMikdash, any makom mikdash. And forget, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Rabbi Yehuda is saying the Batei Knesses and the Batei Midrashes, they're not. Because Batei Knesses and Batei Midrashes of Yerushalayim are the Bati Knesses and the Bati Midrashes of a large city, and in a large city, you cannot sell it. But in terms of, it's not only the Beis HaMikdash, bottom line is that the Gemara deflected the question. However, Derech Agav, we're going to analyze this price a little bit, and not just analyze it, but the Gemara now, from here until the bottom of the Amud, is going to bring us a classic Gemara, something that we're going to talk about in the raid. So we just mentioned Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim, is subject to the laws of Nigei Batim, or it's not subject to the laws of Nigei Batim. Says the Gemara, but Michael Miflaki, what's the Machloikis? Tanakama holds, like Neschalki Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. Yerushalayim was never divided to the Shvatim. So when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, and Elazar Kohen Gadol, and they divided the land, 7 years they spent dividing the land. During those 7 years, they divided the entire Eretz Yisrael, with the exception of one city, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar nischalka l'shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda holds Yerushalayim was divided amongst the shvatim. Hence the machlokes. In order to have negei batim, it has to be eretz achuzaschem. The Chachamim hold that Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, so it's not eretz achuzaschem. Nobody inherited it because it was never divided to the shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda holds Yerushalayim was nischalka l'shvatim, and being that it was nischalka l'shvatim, it is eretz achuzaschem. Makom mekudesh bilvad. That's a different story. But in terms of the main city, Yerushalayim, there's no question it was divided amongst the Shvatim, says the Gemara. So if we have a machloikas tanom, whether Yerushalayim was in Schalke b'Shvatim, lein Schalke b'Shvatim, you should know, u'beplukta da'ani tanoi. This machloikas tanom is really like another machloikas tanom, meaning there's another makar where you find tanoim debate at this point, whether Yerushalayim was in Schalke b'Shvatim or was not in Schalke b'Shvatim. The Tanya, we learned to the Brayse, mahu yibachalke shal Yehuda, what was in the chelak of Yehuda? So Yehuda the Shevet, not Reb Yehuda the Tana. Yehuda the Shevet, what did he inherit? Harabayas, Halishkois, Huazaras, mahu yibachalke shal Binyamin, Ulam, Vehechol, Ubeis Kachay Akadashim. For Tsu Hoysa Yoitz Michal Kosha Yehuda Venechnasis Bechalko Shel Binyamin. Even though the Ulam, the Hechel, the Kodesh Akadashim, this was all Bechalko Shel Binyamin, but there was one strip of land that was Bechalko Shel Yehuda, even though it seemed to have infringed upon the territory of Binyamin. Ubam is Beach Banoi. You know what was there? There was a part of the Mizbeach there. V'hoye Binyamin HaTzadik mitztayir alea b'chol yoyim levoivo. And Binyamin HaTzadik was so upset. It bothered him so much. He was so bizarre over the fact that he was missing one part of the Mizbeach that every single day he tried swallowing it up. Shenema choyfev olav kol hayoyim. So we had on Davov HaMer Aleph that Zvulun was disappointed with the land that he got. Naftali was on Meroy Mesada, right? That seemed to be more for commercial purposes. But Binyamin is very upset because it bothered him the fact that he was missing out a part of the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, what do you see from here? One thing, that the Tana of this Braisa, whomever it may be, clearly holds Yerushalayim was Neschalke L'Shvatim. Not only Yerushalayim, but even the Makom HaMikdash was Neschalke L'Shvatim. Which Shvatim? Yehuda and Binyamin. But the bottom line is, you see Yerushalayim was Neschalke L'Shvatim. Who's the Tana that holds Yerushalayim was Neschalke L'Shvatim? Vayi Tana Sava Neschalke Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. Tanya Ben Lunta Debray say, Maskir Nibat Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to rent a house in Yerushalayim. You can't lease a house in Yerushalayim. Nesha Ein Shalahem. Because whoever lives there doesn't really own it, and as a result, he can't lease it out. Rabbi Lazar Tzadik Goymer, Afloy Mitos, even beds. This is a much bigger chiddush. But if you're living in a house and you have a bed, then you want to lease out the bed. That's also something you can't do. Lefichach, for that reason, Oireis Kachim, when people used to be Oile Regal and they would stay in people's houses, so the Oireis, the skins that they had of the Karbanas that they brought, Bali Ushpiz and Noit and Lois of Israel, the Bali Ushpiz and the host, they would forcefully take it because they were a little disgruntled. I mean, here they're hosting you, they're putting you up, and they can't charge you anything. So this was their way of getting even with you a little. Amr Abaya, Abaya said, Shmami, no, you see from here, Oire Chara, the Mishpag, Inish Gulfo, Mishchabu Ushpiz. So once upon a time, this was considered a nice thing. You're staying in somebody's house, so you want to bring him a gift. You want to be menschlich. So what would you do? You would leave him your pottery after you finished eating from it for a week. Or you would leave him the hides of your animals. So apparently that was a classy thing to do. But regardless, that's what the Gemara says. So what do you see from here? You see there was machlokes tanam, whether Yerushalayim was neschalka l'shvatim or was loy neschalka l'shvatim. On the one hand, you have the Tana that holds that the Makom HaMikdash was divided amongst Yehuda and Yamin. On the other hand, you have the Braisa that says, Ein maskirim batim b'Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, that's the same machlokes, whether Yerushalayim is subject to the laws of Nigei Batim or whether it's not subject to the laws of Nigei Batim. Why are we talking about whether Yerushalayim is neschalka l'shvatim? It's because us, the Gemara brought a brisa and just wanted to bring out one point. It was a little bit mashma that Rabbi Yehuda Shita, who holds Yerushalayim wasn't schalke l'shvatim, and therefore Yerushalayim is subject to the laws of Nigei Batim, Abed the Makam HaMikdash Nein. Says the Gemara, it sounds like only the Makam HaMikdash Nein. Abed the Batei Knesis of the Batei Midrash is, yeah. What was the kasha of Yoinus and said on the top of the Amid that the Bnei Yair, even though in our Mishnah says they're allowed to sell the Beis HaKnesses, but they can't sell the Beis HaKnesses of a large city. Why? They don't own it. Because Kivan the Me'al Makasu. L'chura, if you're not allowed to sell the Beis HaKnesses of a large city, Feltim Bailus, it shouldn't be subject to the laws of Nigei Batim, because by Nigei Batim, there's a condition. It has to be Achuzaschim. Yet Rabbi Yehuda holds Yerushalayim has Nigei Batim, Beseder, but even the Batei Knesses, because it's only the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that was the Gemara's Kasha, says the Gemara. Amar Rava. Again, returning to the topic of the day, which is the Mishnah that discusses the Bnei Yair that sold different things. So the halach is if they sell Ruchai V'Shalir, the Beis HaKnesses, the Teva, the Mitpachos, the Svarim, the Sefer Torah, now they have the money. The money has the Kedusha of the thing that they sold. The money just transferred. So now the money is bound by Dine Kedusha. You can't just buy whatever you want. So what's the rule? You could buy something that has more Kedusha, because Mailim B'Kodesh, but you can't buy something that has less Kedusha, because V'Loi Meridim. By the way, what if it has the same level of Kedusha? So that the Gemara is going to talk about in tomorrow's daf. But for now, that's the halach of the Mishnah. So Amar Rav, a very important caveat. He said, Loi Shandu, the halach of the Mishnah is only true. Elish Machru Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir B'maymid Anshe Yo'ir. The only time the laws of our Mishnah apply is if, number one, these things that were sold, whatever they were not sold by the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. It wasn't the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir that sold it. Not just that. They didn't sell it B'maymid Anshe Yo'ir. They didn't sell it in the presence of the Anshe Yo'ir. But if the Shiva Tuveir would sell it, B'maymid Anshe Yo'ir, right, you have to check off both boxes. Number one, it was sold by the Shiva Tuveir. Number two, it was sold in the presence of the Anshe Yo'ir. Then the halachas of the Mishnah are not nogei. Afilu l'mishta be'shichra shapredami. If you want to take the money, you want to buy beer, to drink the beer, even that would be okay. There's no Kedusha associated with this money. So this is a fascinating halacha. That even though the Mishnah says that you can't just go ahead and use the money for whatever you want, it depends on how it's sold. If it was sold by the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, and they were sold by Maimon Anshe Ha'ir, then it's not true. Then you could do whatever you want. So who were the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir? So it seems like this was a board of directors, for lack of a better term. They were appointed, they were voted in by the Anshe Ha'ir, and they now have the ability, because they've been trusted by the people that elected them, to go and transact on behalf of the city. If they sell something, and they do it b'maymid anshe yo'ir, it's done in some public forum, then the kedusha of what it is they're selling somehow goes away. The money becomes chulin. How chulin? The Gemara makes it the point in the most dramatic way possible. You can take the money, buy beer, and get drunk. But either way, that's the halach of the Mishnah. Zok de Gemara. On this note, Ravina Havale Ahu Tila de Bede Knishta. Ravina had a Beis HaKnesses, or what was once a Beis HaKnesses. Now it was a tail. It was just a mound of dirt. Also, the Kamei de Rav Ashi came to Rav Ashi. This is Ravina and Rav Ashi. Ravina was a Talmud of Rav Ashi. Even though Ravina and Rav Ashi, they wrote the Talmud Bavli together, but it was a Talmud Rebbe relationship. Talmud Chaver, but Talmud Rebbe nonetheless. Amaleis, Ravina asked Rav Ashi, Ma'u l'mizra? Am I allowed to now take this field that I was once a Beis HaKnesses? I want to just plow through it. I want to stop planting things. Meaning, does the Makam still have Kedusha? Amaleis, he told him, right now it has Kedusha, but here's the Yetzah. Zil Zavne, Mishiva Tuveir, B'maymid Anshe'ir. Sell it in the presence of the Anshe Yair, have the ones that sell it be the seven elected officials, Vizara, and then you can do whatever you want with it. Rami Bar Rama, Hava Kobani Beik Nishta. Rami Bar Abba was building a Beis HaKnesses. Now there was an old Beis HaKnesses. He wanted to knock down that Beis HaKnesses and to take the bricks and the beams from it and bring it into his new Beis HaKnesses. So Rami Bracham is building a Beis HaKnesses. He needs material. So he had a good idea. He said, there's an old Beis HaKnesses. Nobody's using it anyways. This is really replacing it. Let me go knock down that Beis HaKnesses. I'll take the material that I can use and I'll incorporate it into my new Beis HaKnesses. Yosef Kami Boilim, he wasn't sure if it's okay. Why? Based on something Rav Chizda said. His shayla was hodam. Rav Chizda said, let's make knishta, personality to knock down a Beis HaKnesses, adabani make knishna achriti. So if you want to replace a Beis HaKnesses, you could. But first you have to build a new one and then afterwards knock down the old one. Why? So Amri Bar Rabba said, is the reason Hasam Yishum Pshiyusa? It's because we're afraid you're going to be Pesheya. At the end of the day, maybe you're not going to knock down maybe you're not going to build a new one. So he's like, yeah, I gav no mai. This is a little bit different. And he felt that he's not going to be Pesheya. And the reason he think it was going to be Peshea is because he's using these bricks to build the new one. But either way, this was his shaila. He felt, he knew there's a halacha, that you're not allowed to knock down a Beis HaKnesses until you build a new one. He was thinking that maybe being that here, he needs to knock down the first one in order to build a new one, because he physically needs the material. So maybe here it's going to be a little bit different. Bottom line is, also coming to Rav Papa, he went to Rav Papa. He asked Rav Papa, what's the halacha? Could I knock down this old Beis HaKnesses so that I'll have the beams and the bricks to build a new one? Va'asale, he said, no. But coming to Rav Huna, they went to Rav Huna. He went for a second opinion. And again, va'asale, he told him, it's not something you're allowed to do. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hay be knishta, Beis HaKnesses, chalufa v'zvuna shari. If you want to swap it, you want to barter it, or you want to sell it, it's mutter, right? We saw in our Mishnah, you're allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses. You could barter a Beis HaKnesses as well. Now, this halach is what you do with the money. If you didn't sell it with the Shiva Tuvir, then only Maila Makaydish. If you sell it with the Shiva Tuvir, so then you could even use a Lemishta Beis Shechra. But the point is, you clearly are allowed to sell it. So Rava said, you want to sell it, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Or if you want to barter it, that's also fine. Uguru mashkuna aser. However, if you want to lease a Beis HaKnesses, or you want to use it as a mashkin, right? You want to use it as collateral for something. That's awesome. My time, what's the reason? So he said, b'ktusha aser kai. The reason is because it maintains its ktusha, right? What's the whole point? I could sell a Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because when I sell the Beis HaKnesses, the Ketusha transfers from the Beis HaKnesses onto the money. The money is now governed by halachas, but the Beis HaKnesses itself technically was Yaitza Lechulin. Maybe there's certain halachas that you're still bound by, but for the most part, the Ketusha transferred. I mean, that it transferred, it's going to be okay. But if I'm just going to lease it, the Kedusha didn't go anywhere. There was no pidyon. There was no transfer of Kedusha. If I'm using it as collateral, so I'm using it for something commercial, something that's not befitting to use a Davar Shel Kedusha for, and the Kedusha didn't go anywhere. So therefore, it's going to be an issue. Livni Nami. Rava continued, and he said, the same would be true with the bricks. The bricks of a Beis HaKnesses. I mean, not the whole Beis HaKnesses. I'm just going to take some of the bricks. Somebody was looking for bricks. So I want to take bricks off the Beis HaKnesses. I want to use it. Chalufinu, to barter it, vizvuninu shari. That's mutter. It's no different than bartering or selling the actual Beis HaKnesses. Oisfinu aser. However, if you want to lend it to somebody, that's going to be aser. Robert added, he said, this is only true old bricks, meaning bricks that we used already once in a Beis HaKnesses. That's when it has Ketusha. If they're brand new bricks, you don't have to worry about it. And he added, even though there's a mandam that holds Hasmana Milsi, meaning if you prepare something to be used for a certain purpose, as long as it was prepared to be used for that purpose, it gets the Ketusha as if it was already used, even though you never use it. This is a big machloikis in Shas. Hasmana Milsi or Hasmana Lav Milsi. But said Rava, even though there's a mandam that holds Hasmana Milsi, and you could have a Havamina that maybe apply the laws of Hasmana Milsi to this Shiloh, meaning if I have bricks, I prepared it to be used for the Beis HaKnesses, even though I didn't physically use it, maybe it already have Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. It's not a Tzush Talisa. Because Hani Mili, I'll give you an example of when you say Hasmana Milsi. Keep going. If somebody sews tachrichen, a beged for a mace, right? Also known as tachrichen. So, tachrichen are aser bahana. What if somebody just sewed the beged? Mace never wore it. It was just sewed. Oh, alzeh nemar hasmana milsi. Aval hocha, but over here, kitovi la'arig dami velek lamanda amar. This is not the equivalent of that. Rather, this would be the equivalent of preparing thread, spinning thread that's going to be used to prepare a beged for a mace. That's not hasmana milsi. That's hasmana de hasmana, and that's not going to be an issue. So Rava said that the only time bricks are bound by the laws of our Mishnah, of our Sugya, that's if the bricks were physically incorporated into a Beis HaKnesses. But if you just had bricks and it was never really used, in that instance, it's not something you're going to have to worry about, says the Gemara. So again, Rava said that you're allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses, right? We know that. That's the Mishnah. You could also barter a Beis HaKnesses. Rava added to that, you can't lease a Beis HaKnesses. You can use it as a mashkanta, matana. What about a matana? Can you gift a Beis HaKnesses? Someone owns a Beis HaKnesses, the Bnei Yair. They want to give it over as a gift. Is that okay or is it not okay? Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. So it's a machlokes Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad asar v'chad shari. One said asar, one said mot. Man asar, one that said asar, b'may tifka k'tush asar. We have the girsa Baha'i, some change the girsa to Bemai. Either way, it means Bemai. Bemai tifka kedusha asa. Where's the kedusha going away? So it's like leasing it. It's like using it as a mashkin. Uman de shari, the one that says it's mutter, because he'd love the havale hanom mine le havayovle. Hoder havale matonik is vini. Because at the end of the day, you give somebody a gift, there's a cheshbon. You're getting something in return, right? There's no free lunch. So something you're getting back. And as a result, there must be some consideration. That consideration is where the transfer of the Kedusha takes place. That's where the pinyon takes place, and for that reason, a matana would be viewed more as a mecher, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Me'inyan le'inyan. Tana rabbanan tashmish mitzvah nizraken. Something that was used for a mitzvah. Rashi. Dvarim she'shimshu behen mitzvah. Something that was used for a mitzvah. When you finish doing the mitzvah nizraken, if you want to discard it, you want to dispose it, you want to throw it in the garbage, it's mutter. Tashmish kedusha, however, niknazin. If you have something that was used for dvar mishal kedusha, that you can't just throw in the garbage, that needs geniza, that needs to be buried. Ve'elohin tashmish mitzvah. The following is an example of tashmish mitzvah. Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. Right, you finish with your lulav, you can throw it in the garbage. Okay, the minig is to burn it with the chametz, but the point is, if you want to throw it away, that's okay. Ve'elohin tashmish kedusha. The following is an example of tashmish kedusha. The luskimi, Svarim, Tfilin, Umezuzos. So these were the things that we used to wrap Sefer Torah, Tfilin, Umezuzos. V'tikshal Sefer Torah, v'nartikshal Tfilin, v'ritzuay sein. So all the ancillaries, not the actual parashias, not the actual Sefer Torah, but all the ancillary components, these are tashmishin of Kedusha. Dvarim sheshimshu behen, but not just for a mitzvah. For a davishal Kedusha, this is going to have a different halacha. So maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow, but the Braisa is delineating between two types of chavtze shal mitzvahs. There's a chavtze shal mitzvah that doesn't have an inherent kedusha. I mean, anything that's used for a mitzvah has some level of kedusha, but it goes down as tashmishei mitzvah. But then there are things that have kedusha, sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs. They're not just tashmishei mitzvah; they're also tashmishei kedusha. And there's a big nafkemina. Tashmishei mitzvah nizrakim. Tashmishei kedusha needs to be put into the geniza. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Reisha v'mina." I used to think, "Hi kursaya." So the kursaya is the bima, tashmish to tashmishu, right? The bima that you read the sefer Torah from. So I always thought it wasn't tashmishei kedusha. I mean, even though the sefer Torah is kaddish, but this is not tashmishei kedusha, it's tashmish to tashmish. It's like indirectly servicing the Sefer Torah. Why? Because you don't put the Sefer Torah directly on the bima. You have the bima. On top of it, you put a mappa, right? You put something on top. And then on top of that, you put the Sefer Torah. So I always thought it's like one level removed. It doesn't have the dinim of tashmish ekdusha, and therefore it's not bound by the halacha of niknazim. Vishari, you'd be able to dispose it. Kivan, the chazin, the mice, feel of a Sefer Torah. But then I saw sometimes the Sefer Torah actually makes direct contact with the bima. Amina. So I changed my mind. And I said, tashmish kedusha, this is tashmish medusha, va'asar, and it's going to be asaf. Amar Rava, Rava said, Meri Shav Amina. Used to say, and by the way, this is also something that we point out sometimes. Rava always has throughout Shas before and after. Hada Amar Rava throughout Shas, right? Merei Shav Amina. This is Rava talking. I used to think one way, and then I came around. What happened in Rava's life that somewhere along the way he had this major paradigm shift? And on so many halachas and Shas, where he used to see one way, suddenly saw another way. But either way, Rava said, I used to think, Hai Prisa, Tashmish the Tashmishu. So Prisa, this is like the urea, the curtain that they put inside the Arun Kodesh. Like in the inside of the Arun Kodesh, Rashi says, it's a Tashmish the Tashmish. I mean, it's not servicing the Sefer Torah, it's servicing the Arun. And the Aaron is servicing the Sefer Torah. So it doesn't have a din of Tashmish Kedusha. It's Tashmish the Tashmish, which is not Nignazim. But then I saw sometimes they would actually put the Sefer Torah directly on the curtain. Amino, I changed my mind. I said Tashmish Kedusha. It's Tashmish Kedusha Va'asar. And it's going to be Asav. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hai Tevusa de Irpat. So the Aaron, Kodesh, again, that's with the Sefer Torah is stored. If it goes bad, it broke. Rashi says niskalkel, v'nifrad michibure, it came apart. Semiav do tevazut resishari. If you want to take it now and you want to make a smaller aron, that's something you're allowed to do. Korsaya aser. However, if you want to take it and you want to make a korsaya, you want to make a bima, that you're not allowed to do. Why? Ma'ilu mekaydish. V'loy may readin. V'amar Rava. Rava said, Hai priest of the bala. If you have ureas, these curtains that were used for the aron and they bala, they went bad. If you want to now take it and use it to make something to wrap the Sefer Torah, that's mutter. But if you can do it for chumashim, it's aser. We spoke about chumashim the other day. Chumashim were the single svarim, meaning just Bereishis, just Shemois, just Vayikra, but they were bound. Everything was really done like a Sefer Torah. So the chumashim have kedusha, but less kedusha than for the aron, and therefore you wouldn't be able to do it. Amar Rav, Rav said, "Hani zvili the chumashi, the things that were used to wrap the chumashim, the kamtri the sifri, or the things that were used for the svarim." Rashi says kamtras and argas. That's more of a chest that was used for svarim. Tashmish kedusha, and who has a din of tashmish kedusha, and if it goes bad, nignazim, you have to put it in geniza. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Mar says, says no. I would thought honey love le kavod avidim le tur ba'al miavidi. You would think that maybe when is something called tashmish kedusha? That if it's dear for kavod, but if it's not dear for kavod to beautify the davar shel kedusha, it's just there to store it. So you would have thought maybe not kamashmul, and that's the chiddush. Who be knishet you would die raymoi. So there was a base at Knesses where the Roman Jews used to daven. Rashi says there was a kehila of Jews that had come from Rome. And they used to daven in this Pesach Knesses, dava posiach lahu idruna. And it was opened up into a room, dava machis be mace, and there was a mace there. Dava bo kahani lameil hasam. And the kahanim wanted to come into the Pesach Knesses, letzli hasam to daven. The problem is the Pesach Knesses was open to a room, this room is completely exposed, and there's a mace there. So the question was, does the tumah of that room transfer into the Pesach Knesses? Now there's tumah soil. If there's tumah soil, a kohen wouldn't be allowed to go there. So the Gemara says, also Amalei the Rava, they came to Rava, what should you do? So it's interesting, this Pesach Knesses of the Roman Jews, it was in Rava's Kehila. In fact, Rashi says it was in Mechuza. So there was a Kehila of Jews that came from Rome to Bavel, and Rava's the Mara, the Aser in Bavel. So they went to Rava and they asked Rava, what should we do? So Amalei told them, Dalu Tiyufta Aisfua. What you should do is you should take the Teva, take the Aron Kodesh, you should put it there. Why? The Havali Kli'etz Ha'asui Lenachas. Because it's a Kli'etz Ha'asui Lenachas. If it Kli'etz Ha'asui Lenachas, ain't a Makabal Tumah. A Kli'etz, anything that's wood, that's Asui Lenachas, it's stationary. It's not something that's moved, it's not Makabal Tumah. So he said, take the Aron. People don't move the Aron, leave it there. It's not Mekabel Tumah. Not only is it not Mekabel Tumah, next words are the punchline, V'choytzes b'fnei HaTumah. It's going to serve as a chatzitza as well. So being that it's going to be a chatzitza, so it's going to be mafsik, the Tumah, you won't have to worry. So again, what happened? There's a Beis HaKnesses, the Kehanim want to come down, and the promise is open up into a side room, and there's a mace there, so the Tumah is traveling. So Rava said, just take the Aron Kodesh, move it, leave it there. The Aron Kodesh is going to be mafsik. Why is the Aron Kodesh going to be mafsik? Because the Aron Kodesh was made of wood. It's a kliyetz asul lanachas, it wasn't moved, and there's a lach l'mosh misina. It's a gzeres hakas of a kliyetz asul lanachas. From Sukkim, right? In order to be Mekabel Tumah, you have to be similar to a sack. A sack is like the paradigm of Tumah. But either way, it has to be Dumi the sack. Sack is something that people carry, and therefore only something that's Asui Letalta. But if it's Asui Lenachas, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Only Rabbanu Rav. The Rabbanu told Rav, it's not true. There are times that people do carry it. Sometimes even when the Sefer Torah is on it, people carry it. No, if that's the case, it's something that people carry. They carry it when it's full, meaning when the thing is in it, in this case, the Hilga Sefer Torah, or when it's Reikam, when there's nothing in it. And if that's the case, he told him, oh, Ebazoi, this is another Hadam Aravah. So he said, Yochi lo yafshir. If that's the case, no. It's not Chaytis b'nei HaTumah, then you can't do it. This is not an Eitzah. One more Gemara. Amr Mazutra. Mazutra said, Mitpachay Svarim Shabalo. If you have the Mitpachay, the thing that's used to wrap the Svarim, Svarim Anavim Uksuvim, and they were Balo, Oysen Oysen Tachrichin Lames. You're allowed to use it as a Tachrichin for a Mes Mitzvah, Vizui Gnizasam. And that's a form of Gnizah. Right, it makes sense. So what do you do with Tashmish Kedusha Nignazim? So if you have Mitpachay Svarim, use it for Tachrichim of a Mace. Tachrichim of a Mace is going to be buried together with the Mace. So that's a form of Geniza, obviously. And if that's the case, so you can fulfill the mitzvah of Geniza by doing that. Amar Rava said, Sefer Torah Shabala, Sefer Torah that was Bala, Goyim Zanoy Sa'itza Talmud Chacham. So what you do is you bury it together with a Talmud Chacham. Vafilu Shayna Halachas. And even if the Talmud Chacham was a Shayna Halachas, meaning as opposed to what? Last line of Rashi. Kolaymer. Afilu Loishimesh Talmud Chacham and Betalmud Begemara. Ela B'Mishnayis U'Bebraises. That's all he learned. Mishnayis and Braises. It doesn't matter. That's enough. Amar Ravacha B'Yakov. Ravacha B'Yakov said of a Kli Cheres. You should store the Sefer Torah in a Kli Cheres, in an earthenware keli. Shenemar, and it's based on a pasuk that says Unesatam bekli chares leman yamdu yomim rabim. The context over there is Yirmiyahu. He's telling the Yidden, you know, you're going to Galus, you're going to come back home. You're going to want to make sure your properties are your properties. So take your shtar and store it in a kli chares leman yamdu yomim rabim. This pasuk is quoted in the beginning of Perek Cheskes Habatim. Right, it gets involved in the whole idea of Cheskes Gimel Shanim. But either way, you see that Kli Cheres is Leman Yamdu Yomim Rabim. So you're burying the Sefer Torah, but at the same time, you want to try to be Mekayim the Leman Yamdu Yomim Rabim. And it's for that reason that's the halacha that a Sefer Torah Shabbali you bury it together with Talmud Chacham. Afilu Shoyna Halachis uBekli Cheres. It's supposed to be buried in a Kli Cheres. So today's daf was fully loaded. There's so much here. But as it relates to Reit, two Ha'aras. One Ha'ara is something that we've spoken about in the past, but the Ein Beis Medrash B'Lay Chiddush, the second Ha'ara, is very much a Davar Chadash. And that is, the Gemara mentioned that there was a Machloikis Tanoim, whether Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim, or Yerushalayim was Loi nischalku l'shvatim. On the one hand, we have a braisa, a well-known braisa, that says, ma hoye b'chelkoi shal Yehuda, harabayis, the lishkois, the azores. What was b'chelkoi shal Binyamin? The ulam, the heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, clearly implying that Yerushalayim was Neschalka L'Shvatim. In fact, not only was Yerushalayim Neschalka L'Shvatim, but even the Makam HaMikdash was Neschalka L'Shvatim. On the flip side, we have a braisa that says, Ein maskirim batim b'Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to lease a property in Yerushalayim. You own it, you think you own it, but really Yerushalayim lay Neschalka L'Shvatim, and as a result, you wouldn't be able to lease it. The Regalim would come, good opportunity to make a few dollars, doesn't matter. Ein maskirim batim b'Yerushalayim. The Gemara also brought a machlokes tanaim, whether the laws of nigei batim apply to Yerushalayim or don't apply to Yerushalayim. What is the Tali in the Gemara said? B'may kamiflagi vasa de machlokes, whether Yerushalayim was neschalka l'shvatim or whether Yerushalayim was loy neschalka l'shvatim. So just to talk out one ha'ara related to this machlokes, and we're going to back up a little bit with Raid again that we've spoken about many times in the past. The Magen Avraham, in Hilchas Tzitzis, this is an Erech Chaim Simon Chaf Aleph, Siv Cotton Beis. He brings a tremendous chiddush from the Arizal. He says, V'kosav Ari, the Arizal said, that even though we know that the mitzvah of Tzitzis is a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Garama, it's a mitzvah that we observe during the day, but it's not a mitzvah that we observe at night. It says Reisa Moisai, during the day, that's a time that people could see. It's light outside. That's when there's a mitzvah of tzitzis. But at night, there's no mitzvah of tzitzis. But the Arizal said that al pi soid, a person should wear tzitzis at night. Not only a person should wear tzitzis at night, here's the punchline, al pi soid, a person should sleep in his tzitzis. So even though you would think sleep in your tzitzis, the Arizal said, al pi soid, a person should sleep in his tzitzis. And the Arizal brought a raya. He brought a raya from a Gemara, Mesechtes Menachis, Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara over there says, Tanu Rabbanan, Chavivin Yisrael, Shesiviv HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mitzvahs. Klai Yisrael are so beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just give us mitzvahs, but he surrounded us by mitzvahs. Which mitzvahs are we surrounded by? We have tefillin b'rashayim, we have tefillin on our heads. Once upon a time, people wore tefillin the whole day. U tefillin b'zorayim, we have tefillin on our arm. V'tzitzis b'bigdayim, we wear tzitzis on our beged. U mezuzah l'pischayim, and we have mezuzahs on our doorposts. V'aleim avar davin, and it's regarding these seven things. Tefillin shal roish, one. Tefillin shal yad, two. The four corners of the tzitzis, that's six. And the mezuzah is seven. David HaMelech said, Sheva bayoyim hil al ticha al mishpatei tzedkecha. What was the seven that David HaMelech is praising HaKadosh Baruch for? It's these seven things. Says the Gemara, when David HaMelech entered the Beis HaMerchitz, and this was when David HaMelech was running away from Shaul. He's a fugitive. Shaul wanted to kill him. So he's in the Beis HaMerchitz and he wasn't wearing any clothing. And he saw that he was physically Arim. Omar, he said, Oy Lee, woe is to me. I'm not just physically Arim, but right now I'm Arim and I'm mitzvahs. I'm not wearing tefillin. I'm not wearing tzitzis. I don't have any mitzvahs. And he was very, very worried. When he remembered Brismila, he had Yeshiva Das. After David HaMelech left the Beis Merchitz, Amar Aleh Shira, he sang Shira, Shenemar, Lam Natseach, Alashminis, Mizmar LeDavid, Al Mila Shenitna Bishmini. What was he referring to? He was referring to the Brismila Shenitna Bishmini, or in this Gemara, also it's like an eighth thing. Meaning there's the tzitzis, there's the tefillin, there's the mezuzah, that's the Sheva Bayoim, but there's also the Brismila. But either way, David HaMelech is standing in Beis Merchitz. He's very afraid. The reason he was afraid is because he was running away from Shaul. He understood he was being hunted right now, and he felt like he was in a tremendous matzav of sakana. What's he going to do? He's not surrounded by his mitzvahs that he usually has. But kivin sheniske b'milo, when he remembered the bris milo, nesiash v'daita, he had yishev adas. So the Arizal said, I don't understand. David HaMelech's running away from Shaul. He was fine. But he enters a Beis Merchitz somewhere along the way. He's Arum, and now he realizes that he's in trouble. Till he was Niska B'mila, and then it was Nisyash V'daitai. So the Arizal says, I don't understand. Every single night when David HaMelech went to sleep, he didn't have his tefillin, and he didn't have his tzitzis. So he wasn't surrounded by mitzvahs. So if he wasn't surrounded by mitzvahs, Freik, the Arizal. So why wasn't he worried at night? It sounds like one time when he was running away, he entered the Beis Merchitz, and that's when he got scared. Every night he should have been afraid. So the Arizal said, you see clearly from here, that when David HaMelech went to sleep, he was surrounded by mitzvahs. Which mitzvah was he surrounded by? He was surrounded by tzitzis. So said the Arizal, this is a raya, that al pi soid al koponim, a person is supposed to sleep in a tzitzis. So the Magen Avraham quotes this Arizal, and then he says, v'dvarav divrei kabbalah. What the Arizal is saying is divrei kabbalah, and as a result, mekabel. There's no question we're going to be mekabel what the Arizal said. Aval adin, however, if the Arizal meant to prove his halacha from this Gemara in Mesechtes Menachos Yesh Tshuva, then I would think, yeah, I'm not thinking like what the Arizal said, the Magen Avraham, because I know the Arizal's Torah is Mesoira, and it's Kabbalah, and I'm not arguing. But the Arizal brought a raya, and because he brought a raya, we have a right now to sit and do what we do, which is discuss that raya of the Arizal. And if the Arizal's raya was, because why was David HaMelech not worried every night? Oh, Yesh Tshuva, why? Because the Yesh Loimar, because you can say, the Belayla al kol panim hoyla mezuzah bepischai, because at night, when David HaMelech went to sleep, you want to know where was the mitzvah? He was surrounded by the mezuzah. Sheva b'yoyim hilal ticha. You have the tzitzis, you have the tefillin, and you have the mezuzah. Every night when he went to sleep, he had a mezuzah. But now he was in a Beis Merchitz. A Beis Merchitz doesn't have a mezuzah. And because he was in a Beis Merchitz and the Beis Merchitz doesn't have a mezuzah, that's why he was afraid now. So the Arizal said, why wasn't David HaMelech afraid every night? Oh, must be. The reason he wasn't afraid is because he had tzitzis. Said the Magen Avraham, no. Im ladin yesh tshuva. I can argue with that. I could say the reason he wasn't afraid at night is because he had a mezuzah. And because he had a mezuzah, that's why he wasn't afraid. Now he's in a Beis Merchitz. In a Beis Merchitz, he doesn't have a mezuzah, and it's for that reason he's afraid. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in Shailos HaTshuvas, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Simen Tassets, at the end of a tshuva, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that l'chayra, I don't understand. He says, if the Magen Avraham is right, that the reason David HaMelech wasn't worried at night when he was sleeping is because he had a mezuzah, l'chura, when David HaMelech was in the Beis Merchitz, he also had the mezuzah. What, now that he's in the Beis Merchitz, he doesn't have the mezuzah? He still has the mezuzah bepeschai. So he still had a mitzvah. And being that he still had a mitzvah, so freik Reb Kiva Eger, then memonav shach. What difference was there between when he was home and the mezuzah was al pischai versus when he was in the Beis Merchitz and the mezuzah was al pischai? Now, Pasha, you could say, it's not so much the mitzvah. It's more the fact that he's surrounded by the mitzvah. That's a good ha'ara. But as I freaked Rabbi Kiva Eger, so says Rabbi Kiva Eger, I think it's muchach in this Magen Avraham a gevaldige chiddush, that the only time a person's mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah is when he's physically in his house and the mezuzah is there where he can mamash kish the mezuzah. But when a person's not in his house, even though he has a house and there's a mezuzah al pischai, at that time he's not going to be mekayim the mitzvah. Does state in the Magen Avraham, because the Magen Avraham timed that maybe the reason David HaMelech always was okay, it was because of the mezuzah. L'chayra, if it was because of the mezuzah, he had the mezuzah even when he was in the Beis Merchitz. Or the Torah says he didn't have the mezuzah when he was in the Beis Merchitz. What do you mean? But he did have the mezuzah. Oh, must be an amekayim the mitzvah unless you're in your house. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, if this is what it says in the Magen Avraham, and this is Rabbi Kiva Eger talking, it's clear to me, thus made the Magen Avraham. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, I want to say a very big chiddush. If a person leaves his house, you leave your house in the morning, you come home at night, l'chayra, you walk into your house, you should have to make another bracha. You should have to make a bracha on your mezuzah. You're going to say, what do you mean? You have to make a bracha on mezuzah? Zok Reb Kiva Eger, if a person's sitting in a sukkah on sukkahs, he leaves the sukkah, he comes home 4 hours later, he sits down in the sukkah, you make another leishah basukkah? Let's say someone's wearing a tzitzis. You make a bracha in the morning, al mitzvah tzitzis. Then you take off your tzitzis for whatever reason. You put it on a bunch of hours later. You're going to make another bracha, unless you had das, maybe. But even then, if a certain amount of time passes, could be das is not even going to help. Of course, you're going to have to go ahead now and make another bracha. So you see that if a person is doing a mitzvah, and then there's a hefsek rav in the mitzvah, then when you do it again, you should, says Zok Reb Kiva Eger, person leaves his house for 3 days, he comes back. It's poshut, you should have to make another bracha, and now he's mesayim, v'tzarech iyan ledina. I'm not sure. Could be. I can't tell you for sure not. V'tzarech iyan ledina. Every time you walk into your house, you start clapping mezuzahs again. Now you have to clap it, but you have to make the bracha. As long as Zok Reb Kiva Eger says tzarech iyan ledina. But the bottom line is, the Arizal, as quoted by the Magen Avraham, said a gevaldige chiddush. His chiddush was that when a person is sleeping, al pi soid anyways, you're supposed to wear a talis. And you're supposed to wear your tzitzis. And what was his makar? His makar was the Gemara Menachos Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Because you see, David HaMelech, when he was in the Beis Merchitz, he realized that he was Arim in HaMitzvahs, and it was at that time that he got very, very scared. Why? Because he didn't have any mitzvahs. It's mashma. Up until that point, he felt
comfortable because he knew he was surrounded by mitzvahs. What was the mitzvah that he had every night? He wasn't wearing his tefillin. He wasn't wearing his tzitzis. What mitzvah did he have? Oh, must be he was wearing his tzitzis. So said that Arizal, this is a raya that you must have tzitzis. Oh, but the kasha is a great kasha. The kasha, Freit Amogad Avram, is what do you mean? Maybe every night he had a mezuzah. Good, what Kvega says, then he should have had the mezuzah even the base merchitz. Oh, but that's the Amogad Avram's kasha. Freit Amogad Avram, what happened to the fact that he had his mezuzah? The Chassam Sofer in his Agoyis on Shulchan Aruch, right here in Aruch Chaim, Simu Chaf Aleph, on this Magen Avram. So it says, the Chassam Sofer, that it could be the Magen Avram's kasha, and really the teretz that you'll be forced to say, is a raya to something that the Ramah says in Hilchis Mezuzah and Simen Reish Peivav. The Ramah says as follows, that a cheder, a room, that ish v'isha yeshenim, so if there's a room that a man and a woman sleep in, a room like that is chayim b'mezuzah. Says the Rama. There are those that argue. That any place that women sleep is potter b'mezuzah. There's really no chayim b'mezuzah. So says the Chassam Sofer. Maybe this is the Teretz. Maybe this kasha and maybe that Rizal held like this yesh makilim that the Rama brings in Yeridei Simin Reish Peivav Sivkot and Beis. That a makim that ish v'isha yeshenim. A place like that is chayim is potem mezuzah, and if a place like that is potem mezuzah, so he says maybe the room that David HaMelech slept in was a room that was potem mezuzah, and because it was potem mezuzah, so he says it's for that reason. He says it's for that reason that maybe there was no taina, because being that it was potem mezuzah, so it's for that reason there was no mezuzah. So what was the Magen Avraham's kasha? What happened to the mezuzah? The teretz is there's aloch of a cheder she anoshim v'noshim yishenim u'meshamshim sham is potem and a mezuzah. So there was taka no mezuzah. So if there was no mezuzah, so it's for that reason this aloch wouldn't have been a geyer. Then the Chassam Sofer says something else. He says, what about the Shas Tashmish? David HaMelech at that point should have been afraid, because L'chaira then he was for sure Arum, and if that's the case, what was the mitzvah that he had? So he says maybe this is a raya to something that Rabbi Yaakov Emden says in the Siddur Yavitz, that al pi soid yesh l'shamish mitosay melubish betalas katan. And just like the Rizal said you're supposed to sleep in a talas katan, Rabbi Yaakov Emden said a person's supposed to be mishamish mitosay betalas katan as well. So it comes out he was an Arum. So the Chassam Sofer, that even though I think this is a starker raya to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, obyesh litchos, because it could be being that oina itself is a mitzvah, so it could be at that point he was being mekayim a mitzvah. David was never worried when he was being mekayim a mitzvah. He was worried he's not being mekayim a mitzvah and he's orim in a mitzvah. That's when he was concerned. So he's standing in the base merchus, he's not doing a mitzvah and he's orim in a mitzvah, and therefore he was worried. Ad sheniske b'milo. But over here, he didn't, over here it's b'shas oina, and being that it's b'shas oina, the oina guf is a mitzvah. Either way, this is fascinating, great. As I state in Agoyis Chassam Sofer, right here in Eruchayim, Simin Chaf Aleph. But ein base medrash b'lo chiddush, I saw a beautiful Mahalach to answer the Magen Avram's kasha in the Chavatzelis Hashorin, and it's very much related to today's daf. And that is, we had in today's daf a machlekes whether Yerushalayim was neschalke b'shvatim or whether Yerushalayim was loy neschalke b'shvatim. Now, what was in a gay in today's daf? Number one, nikkei batim. Right? That's pretty obscure. It was also in a gay, the halach is of whether you're allowed a lease property in Yerushalayim, the Oile Regolim, Ein Maskirim, based on this idea of Yerushalayim being maybe Loi Neschalke L'Shvatim. But the truth is, there's another nafgamino, whether Yerushalayim was Neschalke L'Shvatim or Loi Neschalke L'Shvatim. There's a Gemara Masechtas Yuma Daf Yiral from the base. The Gemara where they bring the machlokes remain the Chachamim, whether a Beis HaKnesses is Chayiv a Mezuzah or not. You have to clap a mezuzah on a Beis HaKnesses. You'd say, of course. That's not so pashut. It's machloikis remain the chacham. Yud aleph hamid beis on the bottom. Yud beis hamid aleph on the top. It's a whole sugi. In fact, our sugi that we have over here, if today's daf felt familiar, it's because we learned parts of it in Yuma Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara brings the whole Binyamin, Chayfiv Alav Kalayim, Ritzua Achas Hayseyotis, Michal Kosho Yehud, Venechneses Lachal Kosho Bayom. Right, this is all mentioned over in Yuma Yud Beis. Now, Yuma Yud Beis is discussing not Nigei Batim. It's discussing the laws of Mezuzah. Shar Nikner, yeah, Mezuzah, no Mezuzah. Right, that's what's being discussed in that Sugya. We're discussing the laws of Mezuzah. And what's Mavur in that Gemara is that Hilchis Mezuzah mirrors Hilchis Nigei Batim. As different as these two in Yonam are, but at the same time, they mirror each other. And just like there's a tenai of Eretz Achuzaschem when it comes to the laws of Nigei Batim, the same is true with regards to the laws of Mezuzah. Which means, if you hold that Yerushalayim was Loi Neschalke L'Shvatim, there would be no Chiyuv Mezuzah in Yerushalayim. So what do we paskin? Do we paskin that Yerushalayim was nischalka l'shvatim? Or was it loy nischalka l'shvatim? The Rambam in Hilchas Beis Abchira, this is in Perek Zayin, it's halacha yudal, the Rambam talks about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim mekudeshes misharu ayorois. Yerushalayim is more kaddish than all the other cities in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a long Rambam, and he goes through a bunch of examples of where it's chal and manifest the fact that Yerushalayim is more kedusha. And then at the very, very end, says the Rambam, ve'ina bayis nechlat ba. There's no laws of nechlat in Yerushalayim. Ve'ina metamim benegav. There's no nigei batim in Yerushalayim. Ve'ina nasis in anidachas. Yerushalayim can't become an Eir Nidachas. Ve'ena mevi egla rufa. And there's no egla rufa in Yerushalayim. You know why? Lefi shaloi neschalka l'shvatim. So the Rambam paskins Yerushalayim was loin neschalka l'shvatim. If Yerushalayim was loin neschalka l'shvatim, it comes that Yerushalayim is not chayiv and mezuzah. Where did David HaMelech live? David HaMelech lived in Eir David. Eir David's in Yerushalayim, Eir HaKodesh. David HaMelech lived in Yerushalayim. If he lived in Yerushalayim, and Lamando Am Yerushalayim was Leinus Chalka L'Shvatim, so it comes out that David HaMelech's house wasn't Chayv and Mezuzah. If he wasn't Chayv and Mezuzah, it's Meyushev the Magen Avram's Kasha. Freit the Magen Avram. What do you mean David HaMelech has a Mezuzah? He doesn't have a Mezuzah. He lives in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim's Potter from Mezuzah. He doesn't have a Mezuzah in his house. He doesn't have a Mezuzah Reb Kivegas Kasha when he's in the base of Merchit. But what about now? He lives in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was Leinus Chalka L'Shvatim. There's no Chayv Mezuzah. And even if he has it, maybe he's in Eina Mitzvah. I don't know. Maybe he's not even in Eina Mitzvah if you're in Yerushalayim. It's excluded from the laws of Mezuzah. But the point is no Mezuzah because Yerushalayim was Leinus Chalka L'Shvatim. If Yerushalayim was Leinus Chalka L'Shvatim, so it's not going to be negated. So just to end with one final shorter ara that I heard from Yedid Nafshi Reb Levi Chomsky. So he told me something beautiful. He said that we learned the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ma hoye bechelkei shal Yehuda harabayis halishkeis va'azores. Ma hoye bechelkei shal Binyamin ulam." The Gemara, at the very, very end of Masechta Sukkah, this is literally the Hadron of Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbana, Maisa, there was a story with Miriam Bas Bilga, one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. There was a story with Miriam, who was Bas Bilga. Actually says she came from the Mishmar of Bilga. There were 24 Mishmars. One of them was Bilga. She came from the Mishmar of Bilga. Shehimira Dasa. And she was Hemira Dasa, Rachmana Litzlan. She left the Yiddish Aveg. V'holcha v'nissus l'sardiyot echad mi'malcha Yevanim. And she married a high-ranking official from the Yevanim. K'shenichasu Yevanim l'heichel. When the Yevanim entered the Heichel. And when did this happen? Rashi says, b'imei matis yo ben yoichanan. Literally. The Nusach of the Alanisan. This happened in the times of Chanukah. Hoysa miva'etah. So this Miriam Bas Bilga walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and she started kicking Besandla Gabi Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach. The Umrah, and she said, Lucas, Lucas, this is what she said, Lucas, Lucas, Ad Masay Ata Mechalam Amoinim Shal Yisrael. He said, what are you doing? You're being Mechalam Amoinim Shal Yisrael. Right, what did she mean? She meant every day the Jews bring all these karbonis and all these animal sacrifices, and it's a shod Yiddish Agel, nothing comes from it. This is what she's saying. She is Himir Adasa. And literally, you're destroying, you're just wiping out the whole Jewish economy by taking all their money. And not just that, and look right now, look what's going on. The Yevanim were coming, were ransacking the entire Heichel, and Ayek Vurasa, Ayek Neroysov, right? Like Yirmiyahu and Daniel said. Look at this, it's a Hefkevel. So here you go, all you do is you take all that money, they bring all these karbanis and tachlis when they need you, so don't garnish. This is what she said. Chamim heard what Miriam Bas Bilga did. They punished not just Miriam Bas Bilga, but they punished her entire mishmar. And kavu es taba'asa, they took the tabas, right? Every mishmar would have rings that were on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. They took away her ring, v'sasma es chalayna, and she lost her kabi, v'yeshayimrim, and some say it's a whole different, but either way, this is what the Gemara says, that Miriam Bas Bilga, she was a miradasa, she marries this Greek official, and when the Yevanim entered the Heichel, she went together with them, and she's kicking at the Mizbeach, right? She's like, mamish, prancing on it, showing how right she is and for being Hamer Dasa. And she said, Lucas, Lucas, Ad Masayata Mechalim Amoinim Shal Yisrov, Yata Oimid Aleim Shazaka. So, what did she mean when she said, Lucas, Lucas? Well, we've all heard this. If you ever heard of Siyam HaMasech Tesuki, you've heard the words Lucas, Lucas. Basha Vas Menk Lucas, right? Lucas, you usually think of, I don't know, L U C A S is Lucas. Vukum Tarayan Lucas. What's Lamid Vav Kuf Vav Samach? So, Rashi says, Lucas is a Zev, it's a wolf. That's That's what it is. It's a Zev Balash and Yavani. But really, it's a Medrash Pliya. So what? What does this have to do with why Miriam Bas Bilga said, Lucas? So Levi Tainet, and maybe the Pshat is, and this is probably Emes, that the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayechi, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof. He's a wolf that chaps. In the morning he eats, and then in the evening he goes and he divides his shalom. The Targum Yoinasin, and really it's a Mefurish, a Medrash as well. It's a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayechi on this Pasuk. Rab Pinchas Pasuk Karya B'Mizbeach. Rab Pinchas said that what the Pasuk is referring to is the Mizbeach. Just like the wolf is choytev, a wolf doesn't just eat its prey, it snatches its prey. Kach hoya Mizbeach choytev as a karbonis. The Mizbeach used to be choytev, the karbonis as well. Shenemar, as it says, Baboiker yoichel ad. Esakeves echa tasa baboiker. Ula erev yichalik sholov esakeves hasheni tasa ben rabbayim. Binyamin is a ze'ev. What does it have to do with a ze'ev? Because the Mizbeach was Bechelkoi Shal Binyamin. And the Mizbeach was a wolf. What does Mizbeach have to do with a wolf? Because Ma HaZev HaZeh Choytev, just like the wolf chaps, Kach Hoya Mizbeach Choytev as a Karbonis. The Mizbeach used to chap the Karbonis. It used to take the Keves Echad Baboiker, and it would take the Keves HaSheni Ben Arbayim. When the Yidin put Karbonis on the Mizbeach, the Pasuk refers to it as a Zev Yitrof. That's what the Targum Yoinasin says on the Pasuk, Binyamim Zev Yitrof, and that's what the Medrash Rabbah says, Rapinchas Pasach Karyev Mizbeach. But I'll upon him, the Mizbeach was Bechelkei Shal Hu, it was Bechelkei Shal Binyamin. Binyamin was a Zev, he was a wolf. In fact, the Pasuk, the Halakha Torah, compares the Mizbeach to a Zev, to a wolf. Miriam Bas Bilga comes into the Beis HaMikdash and she wants to embarrass the Mizbeach. So she started screaming, Lucas, Ad Masayata Machalam Amoinim Shal Yisrael, Viata Oimed Alein Beshasachak, Zok Rashi, Lucas, who Ze'ev Belosh in Yavani. What does the Mizbeach have to do with a wolf? And why is she screaming, Lucas, in this seeming derogatory play on words? What was she trying to say? The Teretz is because in Chazal's Mesoira, the Mizbeach is very much a wolf. Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof, Ma HaZev HaZeh Choytev, Kach Hoya Mizbeach, Choytev is HaKorbanis, L'chura, a little bit of insight into Miriam Bas Bilga and where she was coming from when she referred to the Mizbeach as Lucas.